beef one is still very hot, Craig, but also dairy and milk powder. I think we're seeing, we've been out to see a few smaller e-commerce and logistics companies this week, and a lot of them are moving into the solving the cold chain problem, like the actual delivery of a fresh perishable product to a household. And there's quite quick development in that space. And we saw some really interesting companies this week and technology that tracks temperature of product from when it left a distribution centre and things like that, a GPS type of system. So really, and all you can sort of monitor with your phone, and it's all very exciting, really, and it's quite amazing how quick it moves.
And it really seems that e-commerce space is the one that Australia can take advantage of, because you're dealing directly with consumers to a large extent rather than going through a bricks-and-mortar type retailer.
Well, everyone that we talk to in that space, they all have a very consistent theme, which is they want to know where it comes from. They want to know the farm, the farmer. They'd like to see those pictures, and you know that get that they buy that. They really get that that Australian, you know, clean green image, I suppose. But they really like that provenance story, and that's where we are well positioned with the systems we have in Australia around traceability, and the quality of the product.
So Ben, it sounds like Australia has the reputation in China, but it's about converting that into big sales and into big business, because we are competing with a lot of others to get into the hearts and minds of Asian consumers. What are the biggest stumbling blocks as you see it at the moment for say the guys and the producers that you work with in your role with Toowoomba and Surat Basin Enterprise?
I think the barriers are coming down in terms of regulation, which is what and tariff, which is what the CHAFTA does, but the level of understanding here of Australia and this stuff and our food industry and what we can offer is still a little bit, not as sophisticated as it could, as it needs to be. But that'll, time will fix that, and trips like this will help fix that. But you need a Chinese business park on the ground here to really make it work, Craig. And you've got to explain to them the price points. We're always a bit more expensive than countries like Uruguay and other, like particularly Latin America. We're seeing a bit of competition from them in the beef space.
Ben, you lived in China for about two decades. Can you just describe the sheer numbers to us? Because it's hard to imagine when you're sitting here, whether it be in Toowoomba, Rockhampton, Cairns, Townsville, Brisbane or Longreach, it's hard to imagine just the sheer numbers and the potential market that China is.
You know, I think everyone's sort of quoting a 300 million person sort of middle class now, Craig. But I think even within that, we'd still be a bit of a niche. And that's why I think we're sort of doing a strategy of picking markets within China, you know, or markets within markets. I suppose they're quite targeted. We were in Hangzhou, for example, which is a city just 2 hours from Shanghai, an hour by train, where the G20 will be held later in the year. It's a city of 10 million people. It's the home of Alibaba, the big Chinese internet platform and company. I mean, they're doing transactions of, you know, around food in the order of 100 million transactions a day. On Monday, we met with a Shanghai company, Erlemar. It's a platform that restaurants and consumers use, and consumers use it to purchase like takeaway or home-delivered or office-delivered food. They have 2 million restaurants signed onto their platform. They have about 50 million consumers. Now they're looking at food procurement for those 2 million restaurants. Those sort of companies excite me, and for the potential that they have for our producers out in Queensland.
China did change a few laws or regulations relating to how they tax imports through e-commerce websites, and including on that list were dairy products, and the taxation is going to be a little bit higher on those, and that's affecting Australian producers who are operating in that space. Do you see this having big flow-on impacts?
I think what it does is it's the typical Chinese thing where they open something up completely and see how it goes, and then they'll bring in a regulation. So I think overall it'll be fine. It's just whenever these new rules come in, there's how they're implemented and how they're enforced that's the tricky part. But that demand, I mean, we'll still be in a good position with Australia with this CHAFTA or the China-Australia Free Trade Agreement. It puts us in a very good position. We've got a better deal and market access to China across the board than any other developed country.
Ben Lyons, there's been a lot of discussion about foreign investment, particularly Chinese buying up Australian farmland. It creates quite the emotional debate here domestically. Has that been a key topic of discussion during the week that you've been in China?
Look, I think it's always there and we always talk about it. Mostly, you know, we're people over here, we're obviously very keen to have Chinese investment. We had some very exciting meetings around investment in technology that gets an Australian producer to grow a certain, you know, a fruit that will have an enzyme for Chinese medicine and pharmaceutical use. So I see that it'll evolve. People will get to, you know that they know that these Chinese investors will. What I worry about is that we maintain our sort of our position in the market as somewhere very attractive to invest, Craig, because to increase production of food in Australia, we need this investment.